Now we come today to the last chapter, and we see now the church is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And it seems strange that we've looked in the fifth chapter, the church will be a bride, and now the church is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But the time words, of course, are important. Now, a friend of mine who's quite a wag and a humorist, he said, you know, said, I'm not sure, but what, that's the way it ought to be. That after they get married, that's when the war begins, and therefore the church should be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, may I say that he's being facetious, because the important thing is that in the future, the church will be presented to Christ. That's the expectation of the church, and today we're in the period of the engagement and the exhibition of the church before the world today. Now we come in this sixth chapter to another side, and the church is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, the soldier service of the church is important. Yonder in the city of Ephesus was that great temple of Diana, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the most pagan, heathen, grossly immoral, and now it's time for the believer to recognize that he's got an enemy. Not only did the Christians in Ephesus have an enemy, but we have an enemy today. We don't have a temple of Diana, but I think we have something infinitely worse. I think that we're seeing around us many things parading in the name not only of religion, but of Christianity. That's not Christianity at all. Now you have here, in the first nine verses of this chapter 6, the soldiers' relationships. Then verses 10 and 12, the soldiers' enemy. We need to know our enemy. And the soldiers' protection in verses 13 through 18. And then the soldiers' example. Because you see, Paul was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then we have really the soldiers' benediction in verses 23 and 24. Now we come to the first part of the chapter, which opens with instructions to children and to parents and to servants and masters. It may seem very far-fetched and foreign to the life of the soldier, but such is due to an oversight in giving prominence to the training of the soldier. You see, a soldier's training does not start in boot camp. It begins when he's a child in the home, and that's important. This is something that we're told today that back in, you remember, during World War II, that they said in the Navy that in the early days of our nation, they had wooden ships and iron men, but today we have iron ships and paper doll men. Well, maybe that's not entirely accurate. But here is a report from the Great Lakes Naval Training Station, and will you listen to it? Some problems faced in the training of Navy personnel. 20% of all young men in the United States attaining the age of Navy enlistment of 17 years must be rejected because of previous criminal records. Another 20% must be rejected because of personality, psychological or health problems. 7% of all enlistees fail to measure up to recruit training. Severe problems are faced in the training of young men who must be trained in the simple things that should have been learned at home. At 17, a young man ought to be ready to launch into the training program. The Navy finds that they can easily put a uniform on the man. It is putting a man into the uniform that is causing such problems. Now, I understand that that's even greater today. And even in our so-called Christian schools, that the students graduating from Christian Bible schools and colleges, only 10% go into foreign missions. And 37% of graduating students go into home missions. 53% go into secular work. Of the 10%, who go to a foreign mission feel a startling number return after the first term as casualties. Training is essential if the soldiers to fight properly and be victorious over the enemy. This is important to see.